heaven Son, the God incarnate born. The sand, the root whence mercy ever flows, the babe of Bethlehem. Crown him the Lord of love, he holds his hands and side, rich wounds yet visible, the he glorified. Angels sing in sky, oh, we bear that sigh.
One hour in their
burning,
the tender
so bright. Last verse. Crown him the Lord of years, the potentate of time, creator of the rolling spheres, ineffably sublime. Hail, Redeemer, hail. Throughout eternity. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our true life, to serve you is freedom, and to know you is unending joy. We worship you, we glorify you, we give thanks to you for your great glory. Abide with us, reign in us, and make this world into a fit habitation for your divine majesty. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Children, I have a crown here. It's a very special crown. It's a crown of thorns. And anybody know where this was used in the Bible? Yes, Danielle? Jesus' head at his crucifixion. So I put it on a platter so you can see it closely. You can grab it and then pass it down. Just grab the plate. That's why I put it on the platter. So you don't have to touch it because it's really, really, really sharp. But go ahead and take a good look at it. Today is called Christ the King Sunday. So if you're thinking of the church year, we're just coming out of the season of Pentecost. Pentecost is the longest season of the year, and it's where we have Jesus. We talk about the Holy Spirit mostly. But the last Sunday of the season of Pentecost is this Christ the King Sunday. And then next Sunday is like a new year for the church. It's called the first Sunday of Advent. And we, of course, those are four Sundays before Christmas. And I've got one good song that has to do with Jesus the King. I generally don't like thinking of Jesus as a king because it has so many earthly kinds of understandings, like power and authority and telling people what to do and people serving them. But Jesus is a different kind of king, a king that brings self-sacrificing love to the world. And that's why it's a good lesson for today to have Jesus crucified on the cross, because that's the kind of king Jesus was, one that gives his life for his people. Rather than orders them around, he loves them with a love that he sacrifices his life for. So this is the song. It's called I'm in Love with the King, and it's got... You got to have stand up because the actions are quite difficult. So stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up. Okay, you go like this, like you have two six shooters, I call it like this. It goes like this. I'm in love with the King. Is like a banner across your chest. King. Alleluia. I'm in love with the King, oh praise him. I'm in love with the King. Alleluia. I'm in love with the King. And then one of the verses is, He died for me on Calvary, and you just make a big cross. Okay, this is how the song goes. Ready? With actions. I'm in love with the King. Alleluia. I'm in love with the King. Oh, praise Him. I'm in love with the King. Alleluia. I'm in love with the King. He died for me on Calvary. I'm in love with the King. Oh, praise Him. He died for me on Calvary. I'm in love with the King. I'm in love with the King. Alleluia. I'm in love with the King. Oh, praise Him. I'm in love with the King. Alleluia. I'm in love with the King. Very, 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 very good. Good job. Sorry, put in the cha-cha-chas. I always have that interlude. So let's pray. I want you to pray this prayer with me. So repeat these words. Did you know those words?
No, I did not know
those words. Okay. That's okay. We will work on it some other time so that you can learn them and do a better job at it. Okay, pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus,
we thank you
for being a new kind of King
that dies for us
and loves us
with a self-sacrificing love.
We thank you, Lord,
for being our Savior.
Amen. Okay, thank you for helping, even though it was really hard. And if you want, you can just put that crown of thorns. In fact, let's put it on the altar. I think that would be kind of...
Did they push it into his head?
That's what they did, yes.
They pushed it in.
It hurt a lot. Okay, you guys can go to Sunday school now and enjoy that.
Jesus loves the little children, all little children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight.
The first reading is from Jeremiah. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: The Lord is our righteousness. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 46 responsively. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Though its waters rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble with its tumult.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be shaken. God shall help it at the break of day. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Come now,
Behold, the one who makes war to cease in all the world, who breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shields with fire.
Be still then, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. A reading from Colossians. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from His glorious power. And may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in Him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He Himself is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He might come to have first place in everything. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him God was pleased to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of His cross. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Alleluia. 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 Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. When they came to the place that is called the skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, and coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
May be seated. So over the past many weeks, as I've been here anyway, we've been looking at Luke's Gospel, and I've been kind of using as a focal verse, a very small verse that most people wouldn't draw a lot of attention to because it seems so difficult, and that is where Jesus says, if you have ears to hear, if you're willing to listen, He says, "I say to you, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who would abuse you." Now, after this lesson, that was in the sixth chapter of Luke's Gospel. And then we have all these other chapters coming, 23 now. And we don't have Jesus really putting into action that love of neighbors until our lesson for today. Our lesson for today is a beautiful, living testament of what it means to actually live out loving your enemies. And so I think it's really a beautiful text for us to think about how Jesus is loving his enemies while they mock him, persecute him, and nail him to a cross. And so I was also thinking about how even though Jesus says you're supposed to love your enemies, it doesn't mean that you're supposed to lay down for them. It doesn't mean that you allow your enemies not to be contested, that you want to tell the truth. And if your enemies are wrong, you want to tell them they're wrong. If you need to correct them, you need to correct them. Because you are operating under a more powerful kind of testament. And that is, what is righteousness? What is goodness? What brings life? And Jesus continually irritates the people who are his enemies. I mean, I'm just amazed. By and large, these are the religious leaders. And we last, or several weeks ago, we talked about the Sadducees, how they had legitimate questions. So it's not all religious leaders, because Jesus, in fact, answered the Sadducees' question about life after death very thoughtfully and wonderfully. We learned more about life after death and heaven from that question of the Sadducees than we did before. But Jesus continually tries to correct these leaders, these religious leaders. Probably the pinnacle of it, the last straw, as you would, where Jesus goes to Jerusalem and overturns the tables of the money changers and say, you're making my father's house a den of thieves rather than a house of prayer. And it says from that point on, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders sought for a way to have Jesus put to death. But they didn't have the power to put him to death. They had to have political power behind that sentence of death. And so they did whatever they could to poison Pilate, and eventually Pilate and Herod. And in fact, Luke goes to great detail to talk about that Pilate, and then Herod and Pilate, and then just Pilate by himself, not once, but not twice, but three times says, I find nothing wrong with this man that deserves death. But it's the religious leaders who say, crucify him. And of course, that's where Jesus ends up in our lesson for today. Now, first of all, just prior to our lesson, there's a group of women who are wailing and crying and bemoaning the fact that Jesus is being crucified. And Jesus tells these women, don't be sad about myself, but be sad about yourselves. He says, the day will come when you will say, blessed is he who has no children. Because there's going to come a time when there's going to be such disruption that there's going to be this horrible circumstance where women won't want to have children because it would be better if they were not ever born. And I've heard that many times in different kinds of... The Ecclesiastes is where it comes from. But I think the issue is that a blessing for women at that time was almost only in having children. They couldn't hold a job, they couldn't own property, they were in the lowest of the low, but they were necessary to have children. And so that was what their pride was. And it was such a not a blessing to not have children. And yet Jesus says there'll come a time when you'll say, blessed is that woman who has no children. And so it's the flip-flop that Jesus is talking about here. And so on the one hand, there's this blessing, but if you remember the instructions on loving your enemies, you are to bless those who curse you. And the cursing comes in the form of the religious leaders who mock Jesus, who say to Jesus that you saved others, let's see you save yourself. The cursing comes, and the mocking comes with the soldiers who say, if you are the king of the Jews, then let's see you save yourself. And then one of the criminals say to Jesus that If you are able to save yourself, then save both of us also, basically, is what they're saying. So there's this conflict going on, the cursing and the blessing. And Jesus is right in perpetuating that love of enemies through that blessing of those who curse him. Then comes, I think, the most powerful example of it, where Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's a prayer. So when Jesus instructed about loving your enemies, he said, pray for those who would abuse you. And here, Jesus is praying that God the Father will forgive those who are abusing him, for they know not what they do. Now, I think that's an amazing thing, because if you were to look at John the Baptist or almost every other witness in the Scriptures, you'll find that forgiveness is dependent upon repentance, but not in this case. Jesus is setting the bar so low in terms of being willing to forgive somebody that Jesus says, Father, forgive them because they're just ignorant. They don't know what they're doing. No repentance. There's nobody there who's repenting of this criminal act of putting Jesus to death. The only thing that Jesus is doing is allowing God to forgive them because he's giving that opportunity, he's praying for them that God would forgive them. When I think about that, I think about how we tend to not want to forgive because we like to hold on to grudges. You know, we are very sparing when it comes to being willing to forgive somebody. But how Jesus is opening up the door and telling us that ignorance is a good excuse for... It reminds me of when I was in college. I had an English professor, and someone was giving a paper where they were using these English words that I had no idea what they were talking about. And I said, it was a wonderful paper, I said, but I really didn't know a lot of the language that was being used in the paper. And the professor said, ignorance is no excuse. And here Jesus is saying that sin, ignorance is, and I believe that all of us are ignorant when it comes to the ramifications of sin in our lives. Jesus says that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. Who would even begin to imagine that lying or saying a falsehood or whatever sin we might want to somehow be accused of, that it is going to lead to death? We are all ignorant of that. But Jesus says that ignorance is the opportunity that God can, because of that ignorance, forgive them. And Jesus prays that might take place. Then comes the criminals on the cross. So we have the two criminals. And one is deriding Jesus. And of course, Jesus is going to bless the other one. But the other one blesses Jesus. And he rebukes this one criminal who is deriding Jesus. And he says that, you know, we're under the same condemnation as all together. And we justly, because we're deserving what we're getting. But Jesus has done nothing wrong. And then he uses the term kingdom in a positive light. And he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He asks nothing of him other than being remembered. And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. If you were to go back into the New Testament, you would find that about 99.9% of everything that Jesus did was for the benefit of this world and this time. Healing the sick, feeding the hungry, casting out demons, teaching the multitudes. He was trying to somehow bring about the kingdom of God in an operative way in this world now. And seldom does he talk about the life to come. If he does talk about it, it's in vague terms. For example, he'll say, in my Father's house are many rooms, and if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? Eventually we figure out that's what he's talking about. He's talking about life eternal, but I'm sure back then they had no idea. Or when three times he announces this necessity of him going to Jerusalem where he suffers and dies, And each one of those times he says, I will suffer and die, but on the third day rise. Nobody got that either. We all know what they meant by that, but nobody was expecting the resurrection following Jesus' death. He announced it, but they didn't get it. And Jesus said, for example, it's better that I go, that I send the Holy Spirit. What is he talking about? He never in clear terms talks about life eternal or life into the next world until now on the cross with this criminal. It's like he opened the door to salvation and there's this little light that comes through the door and it fills the whole space. Because Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. It's the first example that Jesus gave of clearly that the goodness of God is going to find a way to bless his people, if not in this life, then in the life to come. And Jesus is announcing that. And now it is something that we can all declare because we know what he meant. And it's never, no longer a small, still voice, but it's a very loud proclamation that Jesus gives to us. That today, you, criminal, will be with me in paradise. And now the way to paradise, to eternal life, to life after death, is now going to be available to everyone else who follows this way. What a blessing. Amen.